Joining me on the line to discuss this further is Dr. Amir Blumenfeld, who is the part of the health team of the Hostages and Missing Families Forum. And he's also the founder of Come Together, a grassroots initiative to raise awareness and promote public activism around the urgency of bringing the hostages home. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to start by asking you what you make of the recently freed Israeli hostage Liri Albag. She made headlines when she declared that she'll rejoin the IDF and that she's determined to, and I'm quoting her, settle the score with her captors. What does her decision to rejoin the army tell us about the mindset of some of the freed hostages?
I believe that, first of all, thank you for having me. I believe that the released hostages are very active in the fight to bring back all the remaining 50, and that's the exact number, all the 50 remaining hostages back there in Gaza. As far as we know or were to, there are 22 still alive and 28 who were declared diseased or dead. And all of them are in danger right now because the living hostages are suffering. They're suffering from diseases, from injuries, and they need to come back as soon as possible in order to start rehabilitation. But also the dead ones need to come back because they're in danger of forgetting them. It might happen that the people who are aware or know where they are will be lost somehow in those fightings in Gaza, or the bombing will destroy the graves or the places where they were buried. And this is again kind of a threat, because families need to have the hostages, the dead hostages as well, in order to bury them and finish this tragedy. Otherwise, they will remain in a condition that we call like ambiguous loss. Mm. They don't really know what happened to their closed ones, to their dear ones, and they can't finish this story. We all aware of this Israeli pilot named Ron Arad, who was lost, and nobody knows what happened to him eventually, and nobody can declare that he's either dead or alive.
And that's from 1982, if I'm not mistaken.
That's from 1982, exactly. And we're still, and I hope that doesn't happen to the families right now, because it's a kind of a misery that families cannot recover from. We need to bring all the 50 hostages back as soon as possible in order to start rehabilitation for the living ones and burial for the dead ones.
Amir,
this is a must.
Amir, I mean, what worries me, I mean, everyone would agree with you. And yet, when you look at that ceasefire proposal, it talks about Hamas releasing 10 living and the remains of 18 deceased, and Hamas saying that they want an end to the conflict. So it talks exactly to your point that they're not even offering at this stage to bring everyone home. I wanted to ask you also, the ceasefire plan reportedly includes a phased release. I was reading that women, the elderly and the sick would come first. Is that what you're hearing? And what does this say about who might be freed who might be freed soon?
I don't know, because all of them are in humanitarian state, and you can't define in between those who need to be released immediately and those that can stay there for, as I understand, the ceasefire proposal is for another 50 days. It started with 8 people live right now, and then 2 in 50 days, or I don't know what, and then some of the bodies. And this is unacceptable. Mm. Unacceptable. They all need to be released now. I do not accept this proposal personally, and I know that many people here in Israel do not accept it.
And the families?
We need to bring them all together right now. The families go through a kind of an emotional roller coaster right nowadays. I mean, there are talks about releasing. Nobody knows who's going to be released. Families are high and low, high and low. Mm. After 635 days, they are exhausted. They can't bear that anymore. After the war in Gaza and the war in Iran, you know, people are exhausted. We just cannot accept it anymore. And it's not just the families or the hostages or the friends of the hostages. It's every one here in Israel, even those who are not directly connected to the hostages, they suffer as well. We just had a researcher that you know, they asked about 500 Israelis, what do you think about this issue of the hostages? Three quarters of the respondees, and I'm talking about more than 500 that are not directly connected to the hostages, say that they are concerned, meaning that they walk, they go to sleep, and they think about the hostages. They wake up and they think about the hostages, meaning that everyone is concerned about this situation, or the majority of the Israelis do think about it. 50% of those more than 500 are suffering from depression, from anxiety. They cannot go back into their lives. They consume a lot of, you know, sleeping pills and other materials in order to forget about the situation. Meaning the whole Israeli society is sick from worry. The worry about what happens and what is going to become about, you know, those hostages and themselves. And everyone here is under trauma. And in the trauma.
It's a never-ending nightmare. There was, of course, that congressional testimony in which released hostage Ohad Ben-Ami shared that Hamas had forced captives to choose who among them would be executed or crippled, which was a deliberate tactic of psychological terror. How do you interpret Hamas forcing hostages to choose who would die? I mean, what's behind...
It's a kind of a psychological...
Yeah, torture.
It's a kind of a psychological abuse, torture, exactly, just like you said. And this is horrible as well. I mean, how can you put people who are suffering for 635 days in such a dilemma? You know, this is horrible. How can you do that? So we can't leave this decision to Hamas only. We need to be more active, meaning we, the Israelis, need to be more active, and especially the Israeli government. And we need to come up with a proposal of ending the war, because we're bleeding soldiers and hostages right now. And we need to stop that. There's no point in this war anymore. We need to end it, and we need to bring all the hostages back and start rehabilitating not just the hostages. The whole Israeli society needs to be rehabilitated. And this is, and the only way to do that is finishing the war and bringing all the hostages back as soon as possible. I'm sorry.
What kind of mental health support is most urgently needed for the freed hostages and their families?
First of all, we need to see what the symptoms are, and we need to expect all kinds of deteriorations in their situation. Sometimes when they come back, they are in a kind of a high state. But this lasts for 2, 3, maybe 4 days. But afterwards, they are all down. They start by exhibiting nightmares. They can't sleep. I talked to one of the mothers of one of the hostages who came back, and she said he was okay. I asked how he was, and she said he's okay. And I said, what about the nights? And she said, oh, the night is a completely different story. He can't sleep, okay? So this is just one example. But everyone now experiences a kind of terror, a kind of depression, a kind of anxiety, a kind of all kinds of psychological symptoms that they need to recover. And what we do right now is putting someone, you know, to assist them once those symptoms arise. Now, no one can expect when this is going to happen, because it's kind of a delayed reaction sometimes. So it can happen now, it can happen in a month from now, it can happen in a year from now. And I totally convinced that these people will need psychological support through the rest of their lives,
Doctor,
because the trauma is so big.